Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I am your host, as ever, John Smith. And tonight I am accompanied tonight by Christopher Somani.
Hello, Louie. John, mate.
Fuck. They know it's me now.
No, we'll start again. Hello, John.
Hello. How are you, Christopher?
I'm tremendous. Tremendous. Apart from that result of the weekend, but apart from that, not bad.
Aye, but me and you were on the reaction. We've obviously got a lot to talk about. I wonder if our opinions will have changed somewhat since the weekend. It'll be interesting to see.
Sometimes you digest things and you maybe come with a different perspective. So let's find out.
Yep. Let's see if you've got the keys to the bus tonight. I'm also joined by Keith McGinty, Hardy himself, the man with the greatest hair on the podcast. How are you, Hardy?
Oh, no, there's a definite challenger here tonight. Yours is looking radiant tonight, it has to say. Much nicer than that Louis guy that used to do this place. John, your hair is nice. A wee bit of poly walnuts gone through there, but I can see a wee bit of... Is that a bit of grey creeping in?
No. Right, you're getting cancelled. It's just a fucking light. Don't... Camden. My hair's not as good as what it used to be, I've got to admit. Just like myself in general, to be honest with you. One man who's getting better with age, he's like a fine wine or a mouldy cheese, it is Chris Bowd. How are you, Chris Bowd?
Hail, hail, John Smith. I'm good. And you're looking pretty good as well. Extra smooth, you might say. Bye. weekend result was disappointing, but we're powering through.
Yes, indeed. That's the thing. We've obviously got a lot to talk about. There's a lot being said, obviously, on social media and on different podcasts. I listened to The Agenda today on my way to work. The Agenda, obviously, if you subscribe at thecynic.co, you will be able to hear The Agenda every Monday.
What they did talk about, though, was Nick Cave last night, Sir Manny. Good, bad, indifferent?
It was Nick Cave and... good seeds last night. It was very good. That was one of the worst ever on this podcast.
I'll take it. I would have went with that.
No, very enjoyable. Always a great live performer. Only downside was it being in Edinburgh. But myself and the Kaiser were through. Ian Dugan was there with his mate Andy. Shout out to Andy. It's nice to meet him. Thoroughly good time. Had by all.
So, Manny, nobody gives a fuck. We're going to move on.
I did.
Fuck, I know, but I know who Nick Cave is, but I couldn't tell you any of his students. So,
Judge Jules hasn't remixed any of his songs, Louis, so he's not in your record collection.
How dare you? As I was saying, a lot has been said about it. Me and Somani were on the reaction, obviously, after the game, and the reactions sometimes, like last season, I think because things were so bad, it became a real chore. There was some episodes where we just really did not want to do it, and it was, I think it was very apparent. Somani, I think you even said in the group chat, you know, let's get this over with as soon as we can kind of thing. But you find yourself going on and you rant, you talk about it, and it feels very cathartic. It does help. So hopefully, if you've had it all bottled up, this is your chance to kind of... air your grievances, shall we say. So, Manny, let's come to you first. Now, obviously, if people have listened to the reaction, they would have got your immediate thoughts. But having had a few days or a couple of days to think about it, how did the result at the weekend affect your opinion of where we are as a team right now?
I think I mentioned it after the game in the reaction, but this was a milestone for me. This was one of the first games. Up until now, there was a lot, and there's that much going on around the club and, you know, how the manager got here and the transfer window and all that, that, you know, you kind of forgave or overlooked some results and things that had gone on prior to this. And there had been a lot of green shoots. There had been some really good performances. Some not so good, but, you know, we could understand that. In my head, and I think I've said it in other podcasts, that, you know, Sunday was a milestone and we really spectacularly failed the audition, if we're going to be perfectly honest. The more I think about it, you know, I'm a bit more rational about it, obviously, because that's what happens, but I still think it's a real reality check for us. It's a reality check in terms of what we're going to do this season, where the squad's at, and the manager, if we're being perfectly honest. Now, you're not at this, you're obviously not at the position where you're saying get rid of him, or he's either good, bad, or indifferent, though. But has the positives and the upsides of Ange so far have maybe masked some, well, you know, maybe not even masked some of his deficiencies, maybe isn't fair, but we've been so happy with the ups that we've maybe not looked at it holistically as a whole. But there's questions to be asked of him. You know, he needs to be, you know, there's criticism you can give to him. That doesn't mean that you don't take into account the mitigation and you don't give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'm 100% still behind the manager. But at the same time, he needs to answer some things about that game. So overall, I'm hugely, hugely disappointed with the result. But to quote Tony Mowbray, we're going to need to take it in the chin and move on.
Yeah,
it's always good. It's always good quoting Tony Mowbray when you're having a shit season, isn't it?
Absolutely. Bowd, for you, how did it affect how you're thinking of things overall? You're usually very, you know, measured in your summations of situations. What do you think?
No, I very much agree with Louis. It was horrendous.
Thanks very much.
Louis, sorry. I agree with Sir Manny, obviously. I've never agreed with you, Louis, and I never will. it was shite. There's no getting away from that. Terrible performance. But there's a huge number of factors around it. It's early in the season. We kind of knew this as well. I mean, we were told this by everybody that knew anything by Ange, told us there will be downs along with ups. It'll take a wee while before it all starts to properly click.
Do you think that's what it was at the weekend? Because I know people have mentioned that, but do you think this was just a natural dip that Ange was always going to bring? Because I don't know.
I think he's just asking a lot of the players, and I think we all get swept away. If you remember, pre-season was a bit of a mess. The first game, Hearts, obviously not great. And then we just did this run of fantastic scalpings, literally slapping teams about the face. So I think that maybe all got us all raised up high enough that we could be dashed down by the result at Ibrox in this game. But as Sir Marion and the guys in the reaction touched on, really the Hearts game, the Rangers game, you can look at that and say, right, fair enough, first game at Ibrox, there's a lot happening there. A game away to Livi, as much as, oh, we lose to Livi all the time, we should go to Livi and win. Doesn't matter. It could be 100 games that we've lost away to Livi in a row. Doesn't matter. The next game we should beat them because they're Livi and we're Celtic. And I'm just going to be a horrible Celtic fan that way. But a lot of it, again, just comes down to what we were talking about before. And it's that squad depth that we know isn't sufficient. We know the board didn't back the team. And obviously a lot of people get very excited by the fact we brought in a huge number of players, but we lost a huge number of players. And even if we didn't lose any players for last season, the squad last season wasn't good enough. We needed to add to that. And all we've done is sold our best players and brought in no quite enough players to cover all the positions in that team. And we're seeing it now. Again, we've lost two of our best players. There's a lot of work. A lot of work for Ange to do. A lot of work for the board to do in January.
Yeah, I see the point you make about, you know, we're slapping the plankton about the face and all that, 6-0 wins and all this sort of thing. It is like that old cliche, don't get too high when things are going for you, don't get too low when things are going against you. But naturally, I think as football fans, we do. Like, when we were winning those games, you were looking at this team in a different light and thinking, here we go, we're going to kick on, you know, we're back, we're going to win the league. And then a game like at the weekend, again, we are very reactionary and we say, no, that's us, we're absolutely fucked. You know, we start questioning the manager. Keith, for you, does it really change your opinion of where we are as a football club right now, or have we just got to accept, you know, as Sir Manny maybe alluded to his Mowbray quote, we just need to take it on the chin and move on.
I think one phrase that keeps coming in that we used at the start of the season is that we need to have memories longer than 2 weeks, and that seems to be something that we keep forgetting, because we had those two 6-0 wins and everything was bright and rosy. We were much further ahead than we thought we were. Ange took control of a plane that was spiralling out of control last season, and he's only at times starting to get it right. But then it's going to take more wobbles, add into the fact that he's flying with a, he's down an engine because the board haven't properly backed him up this season with the squad. We've got a load of players in, but we're talking about Plankton teams that we're playing against. It's Plankton players, a few of them that we've brought in. We've not brought enough depth into that first team, never mind the bench. I think it is going to take up till the end of this season before we see a properly steady, confident Celtic side that are playing the way that Ange wants. Now, we've got a horrible run of games coming up, and we'll talk about that later on, but this is where we've got to see the measure of Ange and how much he trusts his philosophy, how much he trusts the squad, the players that he's got, because on Sunday there, it just looked as if we were utterly lacking imagination. All we were doing was crossing the ball in. We were, one of the things that I've said for years, and I wish it would make it into something special and revered, like we revered the number 7 jersey, would be to have a 25 like Lubo or Naka, even to a lesser extent, Stefan Johansson, whose delivery is something that you can bank on, that is going to get his results, it's going to get his points even away at hard games, at hard fixtures like the Livingston game. I think that's where we're really, really lacking this season, is being able to trust that someone's going to get a decent delivery into the box, because we'll maybe get to him as Turnbull's balls in haven't been up to scratch. And when he does get one in, we do have weapons in the box that are going to attack the ball and get shots and targets, Stephen Welsh being one of them the other day. It's the lack of imagination.
11 also, weapons on Sunday.
We basically need we need weapons that I've never seen before, is what you're saying, Keith.
Yeah, well, the ones were awfully blunt. They were decommissioned, the ones that we had at the weekend, unfortunately. I still believe in Ange, but like Sir Manny says, my faith in him is taking a wee bit of a wavering after seeing such a gutless performance.
Just on that with the manager, I don't really want to, personally, I mean, MD else can, but personally, I don't want to focus on questioning him, right? Because I don't think that's,
that's going to be a large part of tonight's show, so don't piss on, or cold piss in the chips here.
It's maybe not merited, but I do think there was some folk out there, and I get it, that grasped on him, that grasped on the idea of Postecoglou, grasped on the football he plays, and, you know, grasped on the way that he presents himself, and essentially had decided that he would be a success if all the factors went in his favour in terms of being backed by the board and all that sort of stuff, right? And, you know, that might be the case, and I dearly hope it is the case, but I think it's important to realise that the jury's still out on him, as well as a lot of the players and as well as a lot of the squad. You know, there's no absolute guarantees with anybody, any players, and that includes the manager as well. So it's, you know, we need to look at the positives that he's done so far, but I don't have this unshakable faith that if you feed him everything that he wants, it's going to work perfectly. And he's not going to get everything he wants, because I don't think there's been a Celtic manager in history that's got everything they want. So that's really it for me. It's not to say that he's this, that, or the next thing. It's just to say, look, wait, you know, he's trying to do something. He might not be able to do it, you know. So just calm down a bit in terms of, because I was probably the same, especially after those 6-0 games. It was like, this guy's going to be amazing. He might not be. And it's maybe a wee reality check for some folk.
Yeah, I mean, the reality aspect of it, you know, there was a lot of, as we say, there was a lot of debate and things on social media and on other podcasts and things like that. And obviously we had the reaction podcast as well. But I think very quickly it becomes very easy to suddenly zoom out and look at the bigger picture or blame the bigger picture and say, it's because of the transfer window, it's because he's not being backed and all that sort of thing. And I think when you do look at the bigger picture like that, often it's to defend the manager and to defend Ange, because there's so many other factors at play here that have contributed to us failing to beat Livingston, right? And I want to come back to Ange in a minute, but Bowd, do we need to be realistic as a support, Or should we be winning these games away from home to a club like Livingston, and that should just be a given anyway? I mean, I don't. We never like to be ones that are come across as entitled and expectant to win games just because it's us, maybe like some other teams do. But it's Livingston, for fuck's sake. The bottom of the league, they only had 1 point. They hadn't won a game yet. Whether it's Ange, whether it's, you know, a rubbish transfer window, we should really be going there and winning, shouldn't we, regardless of the bigger picture? Or not?
Well, ultimately, we should expect to get a result against almost every team. That's just the nature of things. But there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of, well, you know what, our backup should be good enough. The amount of money that we spend, our reserves should be able to beat Livingston or pretty much any other team in the league. But at the same time, there's got to be some reality with, you know, your main striker's out, your main midfielder's out, the midfielder that basically does everything that makes the entire side tick. You've got a left back coming in out of the cold from a year ago. The rest of the defence is a bit of a mixed bag. Juranovic has barely played. Carter Vickers hasn't played, obviously. Welsh, that three, I don't think have played. Maybe I might be lying, but there was a lot going on, but you still started that game thinking, aye, we can go here and get a result. Looking at the lineup, it's just a bit all over the place. There's going to be questions. I suppose later on in the season, we'll see exactly, does McCarthy become something, or is he just a nonsense as well? There's a lot of questions that this result raises. But
do you think it's because of the team, though? Do you think it's because we've got beat off of a Livingston bottom of the league? Had we played against Hearts yesterday at Easter Road and lost 1-0, do you think it would have been the same reaction, or is it the fact that we get beat to
Hearts,
them?
Hearts at Easter Road?
Hearts
at Easter Road?
Hibs, you
prick. But you said Hearts.
Listen back.
Wouldn't happen.
How long have you been an expert on Edinburgh, Sir Manny? You a big fan of Edinburgh, eh?
I see. Big staunch, Sir Manny.
Don't you worry about that.
Fuck Dan's under the bus in the group chat as well. But anyway, we'll come to that.
I think a big part of the reaction is how we played. Sir Manny and the guys were talking about it and the reaction. I don't know if you listened to that, Louis. But see what I did there? It was the nature of it. There was none. There really wasn't. It was a very, very poor performance. I mean, the Hearts game and even the Rangers game, we could have won those. You know, I'm not saying it was just bad luck, but, you know, we could have won those. This game, it was just shite. We had a couple of chances, but there was very, very little happening. It was very boring. It was very much the same. We didn't see Ange really try to change it, or if he did try to change it, the players didn't take it on board.
I'd said in the after the Betis game that I would fire Ange right under the bus if he lost against Livingston, but I'm maturing these days and I didn't actually do it. But anyway,
you shat it.
I didn't shite it. No, I was toying with you like I usually do in the Al group chats. So, I think if we'd get beat after a much better performance, I think people would have excused it more. It was the nature of the performance. It was tepid. It was uninventive. So many players failed to turn up. I mean, that front three. I mean, the midfield was, you know, we'll come to talk about McCarthy and Turnbull, absolutely. But that front three, people were talking about we miss McGregor so much, and of course we do. See, if you put McGregor in there instead of McCarthy, I don't think it would have made any difference, because that front three were misfiring so much. And see, when you've got that many players that are not firing on all cylinders, well, first of all, you need to say to the manager, that's on you a bit. And two, you need to go, you know, is there something fundamentally wrong with the squad just now? I don't know.
Is the lack of consistency, though, is that coming from having to play two games a week with such young, inexperienced players like Abada and Jota, who've maybe upped their game for the Betis game and maybe struggled when they're coming back to play? Like you're saying, having missing players like Cal Mack, Forrest, even Julian and Kyogo, they're key players for our squad. They're the ones that you'd expect to carry the can a wee bit more. But when we're expecting the young guys who maybe aren't up to this, maybe they've not got the muscle memory to be able to play these two games a week to such a high standard that, that we kind of need and expect. That's when you're looking for players like McCarthy and that to, and Rogic to take the game by the scruff of the neck and drag them through it. I didn't see them doing that the other day.
One of the main kind of gripes I have a wee bit is that, you know, we spoke about this a wee bit in the reaction, but, you know, Ange has his style of playing. You know, he's very much very kind of set on his ways, and this is how his team plays, and they don't really deviate from it. But at some point in the season, sometimes you're going to come up against teams, and maybe this was just a good example of it at the weekend, where that just doesn't work. It's like square pegs and round holes. It's just not going to work, and there has to be some sort of alternative. Now, a round peg, and my hope and what I really thought we were going to see from Ange was I thought we would see a slightly different, I don't mean wholesale changes, but some sort of tangible difference game to game, depending on who the opposition was and what scenario we were in. I mean, having the likes of Abada and Jota, right, they're young guys, they're new to the club, they're going to be inconsistent, they're wingers, right, so it's to be expected. Their game against the likes of a Betis, for example, or at home against a Dundee would be completely different to how it is on a tight pitch at Livingston against a team that are just going to sit and defend and block off the space and not give you any space to run into behind the fullbacks. It's a totally different game to them. So was there instruction to those guys to maybe come inside, you know, maybe come a wee bit deeper for the ball, maybe try and get, you know, try and have triangles with the likes of Yeti up front and things like that? Or was it just a case of play your normal game, play your usual game? And that's the worry for me when it comes to the manager. But to touch on the game, you know, Joe Hart starts in goals, Juranovic right back, Carter Vickers and Welsh at centre halves, Ole Bongoli starts at left back coming out of the cold. Tom Rogic, McCarthy, Turnbull in midfield, and Abada, Yeti and Jota up front. So, Manny, thinking back to it now, where do you think it kind of went wrong, and how do you have any kind of suggestions on what we could have done differently to change it? I mean, I'm mentioning there about the wingers maybe coming inside and trying to attack them through the middle, because that's really what they wanted us to do, was to go out wide. So why didn't we try and do the opposite kind of thing?
I think I'd said again on Sunday after the game, I didn't really have a problem with the team. I mean, Bowley coming back in was just a bolt from the blue. And Bowley, I mean, I think Bowley done much of, you know, he was far from the worst player. But I don't think he did very much, you know. So it's not like you can shower Bowley with praise. But, you know, if there's any praise to go around, he certainly deserves it than the vast majority of the other players that were in the park. I mean, I'm struggling. You know, the question, is there anything we could have done different or anything we could have changed up to, you know, to make it better? Because it was that bad. It was that bad. I mean, I think we could have stopped putting balls into the box against a team who
loving it,
yeah, who simply thrive on you launching balls into the box, when we've got a Jetty playing in the middle who's not the most physical or tall striker. Certainly the other two of the front three aren't, you know, the most physically imposing or able to get on the end of these balls. So I would have started with Ange, why are we firing balls into the box and playing right into their hands? That would be my one contribution to what could we have done differently. Not that, basically.
Heath, yourself, what would, you know, I suppose there's no much point in thinking what could we have done to get the points. What do we do from this point on? Because obviously away games, our approach is different, or not our approach, but our effectiveness is different at home compared to away, and we've got, I suppose we have got a problem right now about trying to win games or pick up points away from home. What would you put it down to? Because at the end of the day, we kind of just keep saying, it's a tight pitch, we can't play our game. Like, we surely have to change.
Yeah. No, Tormani's absolutely right about the crossing the ball into the box. That was doing absolutely nothing for us. And that was basically Lennon shoot for distance all last season. It had one idea and he was just sticking with it, hoping that something would come off. I'm looking at the bench from the weekend and there's not one player then that I would think I would start above any of the others. So you think he's went with the strongest side. The only thing that I would think of, and I'm thinking back to, because we're in a title race this season, I'm thinking back to the years that I loved going to the football, like the Martin and Neil years, the even the Strachan era, was when we had to win. We kind of willed that ball into the net. Sometimes we even did it when putting Mjalby up front, so there was an actual focal point to the attack. McManus going up top as well for Strachan side. We didn't even have that. There wasn't even a thought to put either Carter Vickers or Welsh up front. There wasn't any thinking that this is getting away from us. We need to even snatch a draw. It was just trying to do the same thing over and over. And while it's maybe to be commended, and you'd hope that eventually that things are going to click going forward, Ange needs to actually start winning games, and he needs to get points so that we're lucky Rangers drew at the weekend, but that's still them taking a wee step further away from us. We need to find ways to win. We need that wee bit of creativity, and I'm delighted to see players like Mikey Johnson coming back. I just hope that he can stay fit and maybe recapture some of that form. But we need that wee bit of creativity, and we need that wee bit of bravery, that somebody's going to try something. I know Turnbull tried it with a couple of digs for distance, but we need somebody that's going to take somebody on, that's going to commit a defender, that's going to win a free kick or win a penalty, or we just somebody do something. That's one of my favourite shouts from behind us at Celtic Park. It's getting to that stage, and we're so early in the season where we can't let this away hoodoo just keep going, because it's just going to keep building and building and building. And I just need to see something different for Ange, a wee bit more commitment for the team, a wee bit of desperation even, something that the fans can latch onto and help will the ball over the net, because we're not seeing it yet.
We'll get right into Ange in a minute, don't you worry about that. Boud, do you believe in hoodoos?
No, I mean, nah. There can be a confluence of things that come together. Such as it being a plastic pitch, the size of it, the way they play, that might all come together to mean that we don't win there as often and they're a bit of a bogey team. But fuck it. Next time we go there, we'll pump them 6-0. Put your mortgage on it.
That definitely won't happen. Right, let's talk about Ange. Let's get into it, Salmani. Come on. Tell us, where are the keys? The bus is parked outside. Where are the keys? Are the keys hanging up by the door? Can you see them?
He needs the season. Now, it has to get Neil Lennon levels spectacularly bad, but he needs the season. There's a number of reasons for that. All the mitigation that we've talked about, the number of transfer windows he needs, but also, can you imagine the calibre of shite that would be linked with a Celtic job if he went? Mm. And that's a real consideration. So, he needs the season. You always say that with a caveat. See, if he starts losing 5 games in a row, well, he's not going to get the season. But he needs the full season, I would say. You know, it's just because of the shit show that's around at the club. See, if he'd been given all the tools and they'd come into a more steady club, then, you know, that he would be held to account by his results and his performances far, far more. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't get criticised on each individual game and how we're progressing. But I think, barring complete catastrophe and disaster, you really need to give him the season to see where he goes. That's you can't ignore everything that's going on around the club. So, Louis, fishing for your wee headline there? No, you're not getting it from me.
Well, good. Do you know what? Good, because you know, I think you would have to be, as you say, you'd have to be off your head to contemplate even getting rid of the man at this point with everything that he's got to deal with. And, you know,
he's nowhere near.
Keith's plane analogy was good. Do you know what I mean? It's been hijacked by the fucking board as well. You know what I mean? They're in the cockpit. They're trying to grab the wheel. There's all sort of madness happening behind the scenes. So, aye, it would be mental. But the other thing is, he has to get criticised. He deserves criticism when things go fucking wrong. And at the weekend, we get beat in a game against Livingston, bottom of the league. It's no acceptable. It's no going to be acceptable regardless of anything else. And I think he has to take the criticism. And some people don't want to criticise him. They'll use every caveat they can with the transfer window and the board and everything else, which is fair enough. He's, you know, he's all our manager, so a lot of people just want to back him regardless. But I think Ange has to understand that he is in a job unlike any other kind of thing, and the pressure is that you have to win every game. He needs to realise it, the players need to realise it. And the simple fact is, you know, other than maybe the AZ game, he's not won any big games yet. I mean, the big games, he's failed. And at some point, that's got to change. We cannot continue to drop points at the rate we are. I mean, what, we've played 6 league games, we've lost half of them. I mean, Boud, money fuck. You can't do that.
Aye, it's not good enough, which, I mean, Ange knows himself. He's literally said those words, but aye, it's...
Do you think we'll see him not abandon his principles? He's never going to do that. But do you think we'll see him maybe...
There'll be some pragmatism coming into some of these games.
Aye, there will be more of a desperation, as Keith says, just to get the result rather than to necessarily play the attractive football that he wants us to. Or does one come with the other?
I think they come together. I don't... Yeah, there might be some change. I don't see him... I mean, he does seem very much like a man of his principles that sticks to his footballing philosophy.
4-4-2, Boud. Can I give you 4-4-2? Get two up front.
Well, you know what we probably could have did with yesterday is the boy Georgius. But again, that comes back to we didn't sign him early enough to get him ready yet to be right there. So it's no Ange's fault. It's the board's. We're back to that. It's the bloody board's fault.
Lennon's fault. Just blame Lennon.
Of course. Naturally, I'm just saying that because I assumed everybody knew that. It's Neil Lennon's fault. Big Francie. He's got to take lessons from it. His teams are going to be playing to stifle us in this way. So you're going to have to change up. Oh, 2 seconds, sorry.
Jesus. My God, there's a man just joined you in the room there, Boud. We'll move on to Keith. Keith, midfield 3, how do we change it? Do we write off the likes of McCarthy and Sorrow because where they're at, it seems to be way below where they need to be, even in terms of, like, certainly McCarthy, in terms of even his fitness. I mean, he was blown out his arse like Tam Rogic used to do before he gained a lung. See the likes of Liam Shaw. I was thinking about Liam Shaw. Now, none of us really know Liam Shaw's level, but he played in pre-season. Could somebody like him come in? Obviously, we've got the game against Raith Rovers that we're going to talk about, but does there need to be fresh blood that goes in there and is given an opportunity?
We don't really have much depth to do that just now because we've got Robertson's away. Luke O'Connell's not even there to draw up on and do a ball and just bring him back for the dead. We don't have much options here. I would maybe...
Would you put McGregor in the 8 rather than the 6 and then put maybe Sorrow in the 6?
McGregor's just a catalyst. He makes other players better. And if he's higher up the park, working with the left wing and the left wing back to create more chances further up the field and even get in and get some shots away because he's a goal threat as well. I think that's something that we need to look at and maybe trust in Sorrow and McCarthy to hold that 6. Swap them around. They substitute one for the other during the game. Just have that part of your game plan. I'm not sure having both Rogic and Turnbull on at the same time has been effective. one coming on as a sub with fresh legs for the last half hour, or 20 minutes as it seems to be with Ange. Because we need that wee bit of impetus whenever it's come to the end of the games and it's not quite going for us. That bench was absolutely honking. And one thing I would never do is bring Nir Beaton on again for Celtic. I thought he was rash with his challenges. He brought pressure on us by causing daft fouls. And for somebody that's been at the club for about 8-9 years, he should know better. He should know how to guide the rest of the team through the closing minutes so that the pressure's on them up their end of the park instead of going in for daft tackles. I just don't feel we can trust people like him anymore. When it comes to the actually unlocking the team or getting the best out of the attacking players, then I think McGregor further forward is going to have to be something that we're going to have to rely on. Whether that means it's going to be people like Sorrow and hopefully a fitter McCarthy that knows his role, because he has shown that he can do it in the Premiership season on season. So we need more from our more experienced players and players who have been there for a while. Even Sorrow's been there for a couple of seasons now. We need more from these guys, and it's about time we start seeing them stepping forward for it now.
Yeah, I mean, the midfield three, I think, Somani, we spoke about it as well on the reaction. You know, that's, I think, where most of the criticism is coming from people after this game. We just, you know, we've debated the likes of Turnbull and Tam and saying that the two of them can't be in the same team. And then, you know, Keith's right, we're hamstrung. You know, I'm putting Liam Shaw in there because he was really the only other midfielder I could think of. Maybe Kerr McEnroy. I can't remember if he plays more of a in defence. I'm sure he played in midfield in pre-season, but it just something's got to change, because having those two in the position that they are is just clearly, it's not working either. Because even McCarthy, for all McCarthy was terrible, and he really was terrible, there was so many times during that Livingston game when he was in acres and acres of space. The other two were way further forward, and he had a massive area of the pitch to try and defend himself. And that surely comes down to the system, rather than, you know, not just the personnel. So, what do we? How do we fix that problem of the midfield three?
We need to get McGregor fit and then not get him injured again until January. I mean, that goes without saying. In terms of whether he plays in six or eight, right, it doesn't really matter. I think he can play both roles really, really effectively. You'd probably want to see him in the eight more if you had a fully functioning. I hate using numbers to describe players. It's annoying. But anyway, I'll still do it. So you really do need Sorrow or McCarthy to step up. Now, Sorrow's been here for a long period of time, and I think his touch and, you know, his rashness, I get the feeling that Sorrow, and I know he's still quite young, but you get the feeling he's maybe not quite good enough technically. Now on McCarthy was, if you're talking about the Livingston game in isolation, you can't say anything other than it was a terrible performance. You know, nobody would say it was good, bad or indifferent. A lot of people, I think, have gone over the top in terms of judging him as being a Celtic player. Now, I've said it on Sunday, I'll say it again. There is every chance McCarthy could be not a success. He could be done. His injuries could have caught up with him. The board gave him a 4-year contract, which stands out a wee bit as well. I think if they'd give him a shorter contract, then maybe that folk would have looked on it differently. But I think people need to dial it back a bit in terms of the criticism.
I love it because you're backing your boy. You want justice for your boy because you went in heavy and positivity. And listen, this is what you need. I've been there
You know, you have to do it. I'm not saying that McCarthy's going to be a success. I think he's got the talent to do it. Absolutely. Right. But when you've had a bad injury record, you had a bad leg break and hamstrings, it might just catch up with him. But we know that he had COVID. We know that he hasn't trained. We know that he didn't have a pre-season. We know that was his first start on a bad pitch and a team that was completely misfiring as well. And people are rushing just to write the guy off. Now, if he gets up to full fitness or he gets fit as he possibly can and he's turning in performances like that, you're going to have to go, look, you know, this hasn't worked out. It's not going to be the case. We've maybe got the guy 5 years too late or whatever. But dial it back a bit, just a bit. You know, I mean, some people had made their mind up. And if we're going to talk about him simply on Livingston, of course you're going to criticise that performance. But the guy has played hundreds of games in the Premier League, right? He's obviously got the experience. We know he's not as bad as he was on Sunday. The problem is we need him to be fully fit right now, and he isn't. But at the same time, you can't write him off. Now, people have made their mind up, and that's up to them whether they do. But I don't think it's fair to write him off yet. I think that that's way over the top, and I think it's a convenient scapegoat, especially on Sunday when the amount of players who were maybe not quite as bad as McCarthy was in the day, but certainly really, really poor. Jota, invisible. Abada, another guy that disappears. You know, and it's about being measured. Of course you can criticise, and of course you can say you're not sure if he's going to be a success, but dial it back a bit. Let the guy bed himself into the club and see how he does. I'm still hopeful that he could be an important player for us this season.
Boudo, big Boudy, you are
Smitho.
Gavin Strachan, right? You are
fuck off.
Strachan. Well, you kind of are. You know what I mean? If we were a management team, you'd be Strachan.
I've got right, a laptop so, in front of me right now, so.
Exactly. So, Raith Rovers in the League Cup on Thursday at home. We also have Dundee United at the weekend. Taking the Raith Rovers game first, what's your approach? We're in the shit here. We need to build some momentum again. We need to get back to winning ways. How do you approach it? Do you rotate the squad to try and solve the puzzle of the midfield, for example, and other positions ahead of getting back to league business? Because obviously we're playing against a team that are in a lower league. Or do you try and build continuity with the players that you have and try and not rotate so much? Because that's also been a bit of an issue, I think.
Yeah. I think that's less of a question right now because you're limited massively in your options to rotate. Say we're that light right now that there's not a huge number of fucking positions.
William Shaw and Eragidi, there you go. One them.
Half. I like your idea of getting Shaw a wee bit of game time. Here's how I would position that, Louis.
Go for it.
See if McGregor's fit. You get him back in because we need him. But that allows you a Shaw. If you don't have a McGregor, Shaw, Turnbull and Rogic, I don't think it. I don't think that's the way to go. But I think if you've got McGregor, then I think that affords you. That affords you a wee Shaw. Mr. Gallagher does not believe Shaw's ready.
He's doing his wee chat message thing as well.
No, can I just need to come in. I mean, you're talking about Shaw and Irigidi. Holy fuck.
I mean, hey,
come
hey,
on
hey.
To fuck. Really? Yeah, I mean, Shaw and Irigidi? None of them have even had a minute of competitive games under Ange Postecoglou. He clearly does not rate them. Let's come on.
Oh, what's that? Ball and golly at left back? Fucking idiot, gal. Shut up.
Sensational.
Urigidi should be nowhere near it. He's absolutely right on that.
neither of them are good enough. If you want to, the fact that Bitton came on ahead of Liam Shaw, that says it all. He's getting no chance.
But I'm all with, I don't know if it was Louis or Kiefer Sormani that said it, Bitton shouldn't be coming on again. That's done.
And
why even persist with Bitton? Give Shaw a go or anyone else. If you're ever on the position of bringing on Bitton, just don't, Ange. Just put Shaw or somebody.
Just play with 10 men.
Yeah, the fact that Bitton's coming on ahead of him, what does that tell you about Shaw?
Yeah, but my point, Gal, in terms of Shaw is that we have to try and, you know, we need to try and make as best use of this squad as we can. We need to try and look for answers rather than just going with things that we kind of already know the answer to. We know what we're going to get with the likes of Sorrow. We kind of know what we're going to get with the likes of Beaton, for example. And I totally agree. You just shouldn't be playing. There is a bit of the unknown with somebody like Liam Shaw. And regardless, you know, it basically sounds, if you listen to Kieran Devlin, that fucking Ange didn't sign any players this summer. I understand that Liam Shaw was already agreed well in advance, but there must be a reason why he was brought to the football club. And surely he's got to be evaluated in a competitive game. Gals fucked off. Brilliant.
No, sorry, I didn't know that was your turn to me. I would look at it from the perspective of someone like Montgomery. Montgomery had the same amount of opportunity as Shaw or Irigidi or Connell or any of those players. You know, Montgomery's playing. None of the other players are. There's a reason. I just don't think. Mm-hmm. Shaw was brought in because he was a cheap option that we could get as a free from Sheffield Wednesday, who are bottom of the league. Shaw and Irigidi are classic this board signings, and they're just numbers. And
I
want names.
He would have a team full of Duffies and McCarthy's.
Fuck up, Bout. Seriously, I'm making a serious point. The fact of the matter is, these guys were brought in and they're numbers, and we'll be looking to move them on in 6 months' time. All of them will be looking to move on in 6 months. We can't get rid of Luca Connell. I mean, so.
Really? We won't be moving anybody. Bitton's still here, Gal.
Yeah, well, but the point is.
We're not moving anybody on.
Yeah, but
wait a minute. Gal, are you the dressing room source?
Wish I was.
Right, Keith, let's try and rein this in a bit.
Think so.
Keith, I just want you to give me an answer, right? Would you rotate the squad or would you try and build continuity with what we've seen already?
I would rotate on Thursday. Thursday I would rotate. The only ones that was looking at the squad that I could think maybe getting a look in to a wee bit of something different, maybe Ewan Henderson, maybe getting a run. I don't think he is going to be good enough long term. We're needing changes. Maybe Scales could be the tipping point.
Mikey Johnson up front. Always been successful.
So, Manny, what about yourself? Would you like to see any of these fucking diddies that are never going to make it given a chance? Or do we just stick with Turnbull and hope he fucking comes on to the game?
Irigidi at right back. Shaw, midfield linchpin for me. I'm now on the Shaw.
Don't take your piss. Come on, give us a serious point.
Well, I think that you need to kind of... I don't know how much I would change it up, like especially about likes of McCarthy, right? Simply because he needs game time, so you need to play guys. You need to play a lot of these guys. Even Jota, we forget that a lot of these players have just arrived and they still need to play with each other and learn how the system works. So I wouldn't change it very much at all. In fact, I might even go for the same side against Raith Rovers because they would maybe have a point to prove. And I don't think there's much I would have changed about it. I mean, the Bowley thing was out of thin air. But, you know, it was on the park and he was okay on Sunday. So I would be tempted to say, look, that was really appalling on Sunday. Significant improvement, please, on Thursday against Raith Rovers and see what they do.
Okay, so that kind of takes us to the starting 11. Joe Hart obviously is going to be in goals. Juranovic right back. Centre half, bring Starfelt back in. I think Starfelt, am I right in saying Starfelt should be okay to go on Thursday?
Cold symptoms or something like that. So.
Yeah, I don't think it was out in series. So you would imagine Starfelt would come back in and ahead of Welsh. Left back, Boud, Bolly Bolingoli or Montgomery?
I was going to say I'd go Montgomery. I think Montgomery should have had the call. I'm all for Bolly getting back into it, just the fact that we don't have any left-backs with Taylor injured. The only thing that stops me saying Montgomery straight away is that then means our attacking options on the bench are, I was going to say, zero. We now have Johnson back fit, so that's it. Whereas Monty on the bench gives you a few more options, but you can always just... throw Bolly on if something happens and punt Montgomery further up the field anyway. So
personally, I'm back on the Bolly bonkers bus, to be honest with you. I always wanted him to succeed and I really want him to succeed now.
I like Jock Brown's wee subtle dig at Bolly for his Spanish escapades with call him Blingoli Oli at the end all the way through the game. And Stephen Walsh at the back as well. That was absolutely
I've got that
broken.
A few times. Big Walsh.
Yeah, I'll say in Bolly, I mean, I think it shows you how desperate we are. I mean, let's be honest, Bolly was consistently not very good for us for a long time. And he basically killed their title.
He's better than Greg Taylor, but...
It's not difficult. But he basically, I think it's easy to forget because of everything that went after it, but he killed their title challenge stone dead with the amount of games that we had racked up. No, are you kidding? Don't get me wrong, would we have won the league last season? Probably not, but that stopped it before it started. See all those fixtures that piled up? Did you just forget that?
Look at you letting Lennon off the hook. Fucking hell, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm letting Lennon off the hook.
Lennon apologist.
Do you know what I'm doing? I'm using that old memory that's longer than 2 weeks, Louis. Oh, Bowley's back. Great. He's a great player. He didn't go his last season.
You might have known you'd be a Leninist.
Oh, yes. Very good. Yes.
Very good. Right, so... I'm putting Bowley starting left back. Right, so midfield, so Manny's just going
to the same
Tuesday.
Team. See you next Tuesday to his pack right under the bus by you, mate. Don't worry about that.
Aye, at least I put people under the bus. You just shite it. Bowed midfield three. Are you going with Roderick McCarthy Tumble again, or would you like to change it?
Oh, I do like the idea of Shaw, but I think it is a very good point. McCarthy does just need the games. I think what Sir Manny was saying was very true. I mean, I think there was a build up there. We kept seeing little bit. He came off the bench. He just—it was just meh. There was not—you couldn't say it was terrible. It wasn't good when he was coming off the bench. It was just meh. And then he gets his start. He's going to be the man. We need a hero. He's going to step up, and he absolutely didn't. So I think there's maybe a lot of people that weren't on his back, and the people that weren't for him in the first place were absolutely for it. So aye, give McCarthy. It's an easy enough game, a decent enough game to give him. His second 90 minutes and see if he can start coming into it. As I say, I don't think...
It's Turnbull I'd like to see dropped. Yeah. And I understand it's difficult. We don't really have people to replace people, but I think McCarthy, as you say, has to start. Yeah. Turnbull, I would like to see come out of it. If it's maybe to... You know, could a Sorrow play in an eight? Is McGregor going to be back? Could somebody like Liam Shaw come in?
If McGregor's back, fair enough. The rest of it, I just don't think you can do that. I don't think you can afford to test Henderson right now when you've also got McCarthy still basically finding his feet and Roderick, who's been fantastic this season in general, but you know what I mean? He's not going to carry that midfield. So, yeah, I think you probably just go with that three unless McGregor's fit to come in.
Keith, you look very much like H from Steps. Tonight, I don't know if anybody's ever said that before. Could you tell us who you would play as your front three? Jota, Ayete, Awada from the weekend, or would you like to throw in a wee Michael Johnson in there?
I would have him on the left, and I quite like seeing Jota on the right, so I'd maybe give Awada a wee rest. I would hope that Gorgeous Georgios is fit enough to at least make the bench. I'd love to see just a glimmer of him. A Yeti, we're not getting anything out of him. I think what Tam needs to really flourish is like a wall, something that he can play off of, and a Yeti just doesn't seem to offer that. So a Yeti just to infuriate us for an hour, and then hopefully we've got the new guy to Giacomakis to come on. To rapturous applause and score 4 goals.
I would love to see the big man. I'm not getting my hopes up. I doubt we're going to see him. But Ayeti's got to do more than stand between two centre halves. He's got to have a bit more to his game. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Obviously, we've got the Raith Rovers game in the League Cup on Thursday at home, and then Dundee United at home in the league at the weekend, which we will talk about obviously on the Cynic Weekly next week. Moving on to other news before we finish. Financial results until the end of June were posted today. We have made a before tax a loss of 11.5 million, which I think Martin Friel from the Biscuit Tin said on First Viewing he was pleasantly surprised. I think it was not as bad as what he thought it was going to be. There will be a biscuit tin episode coming up, I'm sure, going over the financial results and things like that. There's a live show with Martin Field tomorrow. Live with Martin, I believe it's called.
At 11:45 a.m.
Absolutely. A number of evolutionary initiatives are currently underway to build on that success and to continue to take the club forward. That was a quote from Nicholson, the acting CEO, in that financial report. What does that mean, Boud? Have you ever tried to communicate that to your staff or fans before, that you were developing a number of evolutionary initiatives? What could that possibly mean?
Well, it could mean all sorts, Louis, but when I've said it, it's been true, and there have been evolutionary initiatives on the horizon, whereas I'll believe it at Celtic when I see it, to be honest. Right now, that's just a load of shite. In fact, that's my lock of the week. That's a pile of shite. It's just words. He's just said some words. There is no... The evolutionary initiative is that he's going to be made permanent. That's what they're working on.
See, if you questioned him on it, he would go, "Don't you worry, a bit of blue sky thinking." That's what he would have said. He would have
pushing the envelope, lads.
More managerial bullshit coming our way soon.
See, the other day that it was reported that there's planning permission being granted for the new Barrowfield development, which is quite convenient that got released a couple of days ago while we're getting the financial results out and pushing everything with these evolutionary processes towards Michael Nicholson getting appointed. Nothing surprises me anymore. These are all just wee things to make the board look good. I think they should be the focus of our ire, and we should maintain a steady amount of pressure on them from now till January so that we are seeing more appointments. I think there was an appointment today. Can't remember his name. What was his name again, Louis?
Anton.
Yeah, big Tony Anton, boy.
What's his surname?
Smith.
Anton McElhone.
He's my uncle Anton. Anyway, Keith, continue.
Appointments like that are positive, but hopefully they're not going to be few and far between. We need to get massive redevelopment of the background. But we also need to see the leaders in the club being a wee bit more visual. We've not actually heard from, there's not been any interviews. I'm really surprised Celtic haven't done any welcome interviews for Michael Nicholson, seeing how everybody else that's came to the club have been put up for a welcome interview for. So I'd love to see a chance to interview him, see what his medium grand plans are for the club, if he's in a temporary role, and if he is looking to take the job on full time, what is his 5 to 10 year plan, just like Big Dom had. Hopefully there's plenty of ideas.
He's definitely not got one. The appointment that you're alluding to is the appointment of a head of sports science. I think something that Ange's mentioned that was a role that had to be filled and wanted it filled. Obviously, we had Jack Naylor, who left to go to RB Leipzig. He was the head of sports science. So he has been replaced by Anton McElhoney. I think I've probably butchered that, but anyway, ex-Morton...
McElhone, it's not really that difficult, mate.
Right, okay. Ex-Morton interim boss is how he is put out on in the press. He did also work at Tottenham as a academy and first-team fitness coach. I think he was there for almost a decade, so obviously there for a long time. Then he went to New England Revolution to become number two there. And he also had a stint at Bradford City with the old Morton boss, Hopkin, before moving to Morton with him and then taking over when he left. So he's been about a bit. 40-year-old.
Getting on Matty's peak, isn't it?
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see if this is the first of the evolutionary initiatives and whether... You know, there's more to come, Boud, in terms of our structure and things like that. But
Neil McCann for Doff. Put your money on it now.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Right, I think that's pretty much us for this week, to be honest with you. I don't think, unless anybody's getting any last words of wisdom they would like to impart.
I think you've been a wee bit down in our defensive midfielders. I'm one for sorrow to make a big impact. I think it'd be a tragedy if we didn't give him a bit more game time. Just following on for your HV steps thing, I'm actually quite digging that.
I like that because you didn't react to it earlier on, which made me think that you were quite flattered by it, Keith. And I still do now that you've actually just said that. So.
I preferred Faye, I'll happy with that.
Right, I'm going to step on this conversation and end it here. Chris Omani, thanks, Bud. Chris Omani, it's been a pleasure. Listen, I'm not going to lie, it's been a tough one this week, I think, because we were all a bit down, but thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. All aboard the Ange bus. We're still on it.
You've just changed seat to the back, that's all. Bowdy, you've been magnificent. I hope the guy who was trying to burgle your house managed to get out safely.
Aye. Slapped him a wee bit, but that's fine. Cheers, Smithy. Hey, Will.
And H, it's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to speak to you guys, so thanks very much, John Boy.
This has been the Cynic Weekly, and we will speak to you down the road.